All right, talking today with Jimmy Emmons here at the OSU All Crops Conference. And Jimmy, you are a well-known conservationist and no-till farmer here in Oklahoma, down in Leedy. And talking to producers today at this event about how to make soil health systems work here in Oklahoma. So I guess the question is, how do you make those work?
Well, it's you got to really think about it and be passionate about trying to make a difference. You're going to have to plant a cover crop, and across the grain, everybody will tell you you're going to use too much water in western Oklahoma. But really, you don't. You'll use some water up front, but then we can capture that back with aggregation gets better. So the use of cover crops in a no-till situation will get you on a good path there.
One thing that you had mentioned was spreading out that risk to help you kind of overcome those times. I think that's what this is all about, is preparing and hoping to be in the best position, I guess, when those bad times do occur.
Yeah. Used to, I grew one crop, maybe two, wheat or cotton, maybe both of them. But I only had two streams of income at the end of the year. Now we're growing 9 or 10 different crops. So I have different harvest intervals, different markets. I'm not just locked into a straight commodity market. So it spreads your risk. Also, your water use at different times. Used to, I planted wheat at a certain time of the year or cotton at a certain time of the year. If it was too dry or too wet, you were messed up, and we continued to think we had to plant that. Now when it rains late, I look at how long a growing window I have left in the season and plant a crop that will fit that window, and try to be variable with the weather. And I've learned that will help spread my risk out.
And, you know, of course, in that, window of thinking, you're often kind of at the mercy of what Mother Nature will let you do. So one thing that you hit on, which I think is important for farmers to know is and understand, is that you're going to fail. And you hit on that. Failures is a big part of this.
Yeah, you know, everything I do is not successful. A lot of people say, well, we'll do it like Jimmy, we'll do it like Jimmy. Well, if you do it like I am, you're going to have them failures, whether it be in drought or where it be a mistake of planting or termination at the wrong time or something. But we have to learn from them failures instead of just accepting them. I think that's the problem in ag today as a whole. We're readily acceptable that's the way it's got to be, and I don't believe that's the way we should look at it.
And so I would say the key to that is patience. That's a key that you mentioned today.
Yeah, I talk about PPM, and that's patience, persistence, and management. I think if you'll stay with them three in a system, I think that you have a greater chance of making it work. You got to be patient, because there is going to be failures, but you got to be persistent and stay the course and manage through all that. So I think that's critical.
In terms of soil health systems, what is your definition of success?
Well, my organic matter. We've lost half our organic matter as a nation and half the carbon in that. So that's the water holding capacity. So my success is when I'm moving that back up. I hope to get to 3%, 3.5%. Even more if we can, but we got to get back to where the native prairie was, about 3.5%. So when I look at my soil, I see it's changing, and I know that's successful, and I just got to stay the course.
You just talked about, you know, some watching that change happen over time. You've been doing this about 8 years, correct? And you've watched that evolve. So one thing that you mentioned today was last year, 2018, was one of the most disastrous years that you've experienced there on your farm, given the drought and the fires and everything that happened there. From that experience, what have you learned from that, and what can you share with farmers that are thinking about getting in from that experience?
Well, you know, you talked about the drought. We went 10 months with very little rain. Within that 10 months, we had a wildfire that destroyed half of Dewey County and some in Woodward County and some in Custer County. What we learned in our system was our rangeland responded better, quicker, when it did start to raining. I believe our grass stand is better because of the grazing practices that we've done. I know our soil in our farmland is better. Now, we burned a lot of residue off the top, and I had some erosion during that dry period. But, you know, I still think I'm ahead. If doing what I'm doing versus if I'd been like some of the other neighbors that's done it the same way. It's a terrible year for everybody, but I mean, Ginger and I are still fortunate enough to have a house. I had board members that lost houses, lost cattle, equipment, everything. So we're blessed, but I believe if you build resiliency in the soil, that it'll pay in the long run.
Just finally, you know, a couple of questions that were asked right before you ended today was, how do you go about deciding what cover crops to plant? And then also, what is that one thing that actually gets farmers on board with this that are thinking about it? What do you do to push them over the edge?
Well, I talk a lot about carbon being the key to the system, and it is. And so when you talk about cover crops in between cash crops, you need to look at the cash crop. If it was, for instance, a bean or a pea or a cotton or a sesame, something that is very little residue, so it's low carbon, high nitrogen, then you need to follow up with a high carbon cover crop. The same goes if you have a big, large corn crop, you have lots of carbon. Then you can plant a lower carbon to keep it balanced across there. So that's the key, and I talk about you need to put together a mix and then tweak with it on your own farm, because things won't always grow the same on my farm versus your farm. And so you kind of have to come up with your own mix, whether it be one to 20 or 30 different species is up to you. I mean, you can make it as simple or as complex as you want it to be. You know, and encouraging people to start this, that's a challenge. We see heritage, generational things. We see actually alumni pressure from the way you've been taught before. You know, you have to feel that you want to make the land better and be really driven by that, I think, to be successful. A lot of times we see financial pressure is the key that pushes people into it, because quite truthfully, they don't have the money to continue. And in this environment that we're in today, that's a very, very real scenario.
I'll just leave you with one last thing. You know, Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts is coming up with a meeting. Give us a quick preview of what's going on there. I know you've been very integral in planning that whole event.
Yeah, this is my last year as president of the association. I'll be ending that on Monday. So we have a great Monday lined up with breakout sessions and how to be better district managers, how to be better district board members. The districts go through every 5 years a long range plan, so we have some breakout sessions to help them to really lay out a good framework of plan to help how the producer works the next 5 years, and I think that's very important. Then that evening we have our legislative banquet where we invite legislators in, and we give out awards that night. We'll have the second Leopold winner announced at the state meeting that night. I was the first last year, very honored to get that, and I'm really looking forward to being able to give the second one away. Then on Tuesday, we have what we call our soil health track, where we're going to focus on a lot of what we talked about here today. I have speakers coming from Arkansas, Colorado, Nebraska, all over, that are going to really tell a great story. Brendan Rocky with Rocky Farms, a potato grower in Center Colorado, has got a great story. Adam Chappell's talking about raising cotton with covers and flood irrigation in Arkansas. He's got a great, great story of what he's done. Steve Tucker's going to open us up with a very motivational, you know, how you look for new markets, how you create markets, how do you help one another market that and facilitate that. He's going to give a great message. So it's a fun packed day. If you're into soil health and want to try to learn something, I'd encourage you to come. It's very reasonable, and it's open to the public.